Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's December 29, 2014, and this is episode 454. With 2014 almost over and no more shoots planned for this year, I went through my yearly exercise of selecting my top 10 photographs. And today I share my selection process with you, as I believe this exercise is something that many of us can benefit from. I'll be talking a little bit about each of my final selected 10 images in next week's episode. I find it incredibly valuable to select my top 10 each year. It gives us a holistic view of our year, and of course forms a record of our achievements within that year. I really recommend that you do this yourself too, and if you do, I'd love for you to share a link to your top 10 once completed by the comments section in the bottom of the blog post. And the blog post for this week's episode is at mbp.ac/454. I always enjoy seeing the photography that you're creating as well, so please do take a moment to drop a link into the comments if you go through this exercise and post a top 10 of your own somewhere. If this is the first time you do a top 10, then your 2014 top 10 will become your baseline. This is your stake in the ground, but if you've done it before, or as you move forward to future years, you can come back and compare your work to the previous years and hopefully feel that you've improved with each year. As we discussed in my podcast, The Evolution of the Photographer, which you can find at mbp.ac/438, if you've been to some amazing locations in previous years, you may still feel as though that work was your best to date. But that amazing work should still elevate you to a higher ground from which you shot this year's work. And the results should hopefully be more refined and higher quality, even if you weren't able to visit the best locations or find the most amazing subjects, etc. You may have followed my top 10 posts from previous years, and so some of this will be repeated, but let's walk through the technical aspects of this exercise, as well as my thoughts on the agony that I'm sure you'll also feel as you do this. I work in Lightroom, so that's what I'll focus on today. If you use another piece of software, you'll have to translate this for your own process. In the Library module, I have a collection set called Top Tens. And inside that, I have some of my previous year Top Tens inside other collection sets. If you only want to save your final Top 10 for 2014, you can just create a collection called, for example, 2014. But I like to leave a record of my selection process as well, so I use sets. So inside my top 10s set, I create a 2014 top 10 collection set. And in there, I create my first collection called First Pass. When I create the selection, I turn on Set as Target Collection. So as I look through my 2014 images, I can just hit the B key on the keyboard, and that image that is selected at that point is then added to this First Pass collection. Because I save all of my best photos from the year into what I call a Finals folder, I don't have to go looking through in various locations for my images. I have a Finals folder with all of my best work included, and inside that, I have a year folder for every year, so it's really easy for me to see my 2014 greatest hits inside the 2014 Finals folder. My images are star rated too, so that I can easily filter out images that I don't want to consider. For example, if I create a black and white image or do anything to an image in Photoshop or any plugin that causes me to create a copy of my original RAW file, I give that original RAW file a 2-star rating and save that to my Finals folder along with the processed image so that I can always easily get back to the original if necessary. I also keep these images in my original shoot folders, which are organized into year, month, and then day folders. But I like having these originals alongside my final images as well. My 3-star images, is there anything that I feel is good enough to show people, although it's not my best work? I also submit anything 3-star or above to Offset for consideration to be added to my stock library. My 4-star images are better than my 3-stars. This is work that I'm more likely to show people and use in my ebooks and magazines, etc. My 5-star images are what I consider portfolio quality. They may not necessarily be in a portfolio, but they are my best work, the cream of the crop. I could, of course, just filter down to only my 5-star images and start there for my top 10 selection, but I actually just filter out the originals, so I start with starred 3 or above. The reason for this is because how I view my images is constantly changing. I can look at my 5-star images one day and think that some of them are crap, and I can go through my 3-star images and wonder why I only gave it 3 stars. So I like to include everything from 3 upwards. If you are wondering what I use 1 for, because I haven't mentioned that yet, in my original photos folders, I call the 1-star rating my once great rating. As I'm culling down images from any given shoot, I start by giving everything that I like 3 stars, and then I remove images from this set by hitting the 1 key on the keyboard, giving them a 1-star rating. I could just hit the 0 key and remove the rating altogether, but I like to leave a record of what I initially thought was any good, so my 1-star images were once great. To make my selection, I select the first image from the year in the library and then hit the F key to view that image at full screen. I then just try to feel my emotional response to each image as they appear on the screen. I try not to second guess myself and think, I really like this, but I know it's not going to make the grade. So I hit the B key for pretty much everything that makes me smile as I work through this first pass. From 2014, I have 318 3 or higher star images, and my first pass resulted in 105 images being put into the first pass selection. And that's what we can see in this screenshot. If you have a handle on your image archiving to make it easy to get to your best photos for the year, getting to this point is really easy. But it starts to get much more difficult from this point on. I now create another collection inside my set and call it Second Pass. I actually populate this second collection with all of the images from the first pass, as I find it easier to delete ones that I don't want to include anymore rather than going through and selecting new images from the first pass and putting them into the second one. As you start your second pass, if you have any similar images at this point, it's a good time to select all similar images and narrow these down to as few as possible. I try to do this with images after every shoot. My objective is always to end up with as few images as I can get my final selection down to. This is also similar to when I'm putting a portfolio together. Generally, I start with a target number of images, or simply aim for as few as possible. These restrictions help us to be ruthless, and 10 is a pretty tight restriction if you had even a half-decent year. So, taking actually longer than it took to do my first pass, I'm now down to 58 photos in my second pass collection. Now it starts to get really difficult. I'm already finding it hard to let go of some of these, but I have to kill almost 5 out of each 6 images still. As Zacharias says, this process now starts to feel like lining up your children and deciding which ones to shoot. Once again, I made a third collection and I called it Third Pass and included these 58 images and started again. In case you're not looking at this on the blog or on an iPhone, or if the problems with the iPhone still exist so you can't see the images, then do go to the blog. I've included a screenshot of each of these selections. So if you click on them, they're like full screen. So open your browser up nice and wide and take a look. You'll be able to see some detail in the photographs. Here's my third past results, though. So it's 30 images. It's time to take a break and go for a walk. Ideally, when you have the time to do this, leave your selection for a day or two. Throw these images into a slideshow and watch as they pass by on the screen. If you feel the slightest bit deflated as the next image appears, hit the delete key to get rid of it. Get it out of the set. I was hoping to be down to my top 10 by now, but I ended up with a fourth pass collection containing these 20 images. I took these 20 and created one last collection called 2014 Top 10. I committed to removing one out of each 2 of these images. I hate this part, and you probably will too, but this is not only an important part of the exercise to help us to evaluate our year of photography, but it really does help to get us used to making difficult decisions. I started to look for duplicates. For example, I have 2 crane shots left, so one had to go. 2 black and white flower shots left, so one had to go. I had a very similar shot to the waterfall on the top right of the second row in last year's top 10, so I removed that. I still had 4 waterfall shots left, so I removed the one on the far left of the third row. Down to 16, and I'm pacing the studio now. I both love and hate this exercise. It makes me really think about my year's work, but at the same time, I resent having to remove images that I love from this set. The slideshow trick stops working. Every image that is displayed on the screen excites me and makes me wish that I was back at these locations. Of course, I'll be back in Hokkaido in just a week's time with my Hokkaido landscape adventure with David Duchemin and 14 crazy participants, followed by 2 Winter Wonderland wildlife workshops with the snow monkeys and then off to Hokkaido, which I'm seriously looking forward to. But right now, I have to look back, not forwards. Okay, so with just a 10-image restriction, 2 snow monkeys is one too many. As much as I want to keep the leaping monkey, the thoughtful, loving pose of the mother holding her baby in the harsh, cold snow is the better image. It's time to get rid of the Sulphur Mountain apocalyptic shot too, and the Iceland sea stacks. I still have 2 Iceland waterfall shots. Okay, so let's say goodbye to the vertical one. I'm down to 12 shots. I still have 2 Stella's sea eagle shots. One is more like a landscape than a wildlife shot though, so I really want to leave both in. Decisions, decisions. When I submitted 2 photos of the jetty on Lake Toada to Offset, they chose the other one for my stock library. Does that mean that I've got the wrong one in this collection? Who cares? It's my art, not theirs, and it stays. Can't I just do a top 12 instead? Nope, that's a cop-out. I tried the slideshow once more and got a micro deflation from the vertical blue iceberg image so I hit delete before I changed my mind. And we now have just one image to remove to get my 2014 top 10. Jeez, this is hard. Okay, so as much as I love it, the view of the frosty river with the cranes dancing is very similar to my old distant dance shot, and it's the last image that I can possibly imagine not including, so it's gone. We're down to my top 10 for 2014. This was probably the hardest selection process I've done so far. I wasn't consciously trying to create a balance between landscape and wildlife images, but the result actually shows pretty much the balance between these two genres that I work in. Four wildlife shots and four landscape shots, with the eagle at sunrise being a bit of a mix between the two. The black and white flower shot makes up the 10, and this is an important genre for me as well. I've heard some very vocal photography figures talk about flower shots as low-hanging fruit and slam the entire genre, but I have zero time for people like that. If something brings you pleasure in your photography, do as much of it as you can, however low-hanging fruit it might be, and enjoy every moment, regardless of what other people say. I don't think anyone has the right to tell us what we should or should not shoot, or how we should or should not process that work. It's our art, and we have to be true to ourselves and our hearts. Art from the heart, as it were. Looking at these images, comparing them to my previous year's top 10s, I feel as though I've improved some. This could just be because I'm viewing these as Martin version 2014 with my current sensibilities, but I hope that it's because I really have improved. If you'd like to see my old selections, I've been posting this every year since 2007 with the exception of 2010. And if you go to the blog and type top 10 in the search field at the sidebar, you'll see a pull-down containing each of these year's posts. Unfortunately, moving discs has meant that I gradually lost my top 10 collections from some years in Lightroom, so I've started to do this exercise using an external hard drive that I use on both my iMac and my MacBook Pro, so I won't be losing these collections in future. If I can make time, I'll go through and rebuild my final selections from each year, as I have a record right here on the blog. It would be nice to go back and actually view each set of images in Lightroom 2. After all, these are the fruits of our labor of love. I hope you found this useful to walk through the process with me this week. I really recommend that you do set some time aside to do this yourself as well. And as I said, do post a link to your selection in the comments on the blog at mbp.ac/454. I'd love to take a look, and I know that you'll learn from the experience, especially if you've never done this before. I believe that the ability to edit your images down to a finite number or the minimum possible images is a skill that many photographers don't develop early enough. Quite often, at some point, you'll be asked to provide your 10 best shots for one reason or another. It could be 50 shots or just 5, and it might be from every year that you've been shooting, not just the current year. When that happens, you could find yourself in a panic, so you might be happy that you develop these skills earlier rather than later. And if nothing else, it helps to view your progress over the years. Before we finish, I just wanted to let you know that I've just drawn the winner for our previous fine art print giveaway, and I will be posting a 17 by 24 inch print of my Jewel on the Shore photograph to Wayne Kowalski in the US tomorrow. Because I'm traveling most of the next 2 months, I will be drawing the next winner on March 6, 2015, and they will win a 17 by 24 inch print of my Kusharo Lake tree photograph which I'm also showing on the blog at the moment or in the Enhanced podcast. I thought that this was a fitting winter print to give away, and I'll be visiting the location where this tree used to live over the next few months too. Unfortunately, it caught a disease and was cut down the year I made this photo, so it's very special to me. For details of the giveaway and to enter for your chance to win, visit our giveaway page at mbp.ac/giveaway, all one word. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next year with another episode. So a happy new year to you. I hope that 2015 is an amazing year. I wish you the best of luck with your photography and every happiness to you and your family. All the best. Bye-bye.